Just
Oh, the okay. Yeah.
Are you okay? I'm okay. One thing I noticed on the last one is I didn't really move my mouth when I was speaking.
Too late.
Arsonist had oddly shaped feet. These are the outtakes. All right. Let's get stuck in. Welcome everyone. This is episode two of the Rallycast. As promised, we said we could do more than one episode. Here it is. The topic for today is the great blog post by Andreas on why we need to leverage AI for patent information in 2024. You know me, John Paul, the host of the Rallycast, but would like to introduce Andreas. Andreas, introduce yourself a little bit, all the way from LA. I'm in London, so the audio can make it all the way out there where you are.
Really nice to join this blog. I am in LA, but I'm Swedish, so I appreciate the weather over here and enjoy the scenery out of my window beyond the screen. This is my first podcast. It's your second, JP, so you're a veteran here. I think you're maybe setting me up for failure, having me follow Sake, who's the founder of the company and a visionary in this space, and then you that's turning into a regular Joe Rogan. So we'll see how it goes, but really looking forward to talking about this and rambling for a good 30 minutes if we make it that far. So very quick intro to myself. I've already said that I'm Swedish. Doesn't really matter in this context, but what could matter is that I'm the chief commercial officer for IP Rally, and I have been for the past 3 years and change. So IP Rally is obviously a startup, which means that I'm doing a bit of everything, from laundry to strategy and everything in between. But most of my days are spent on figuring out how we can get IP Rally in as many hands as possible and have as much impact as we can, which means talking to a lot of customers. And the reason for putting these thoughts on paper in this blog is really trying to reflect on some of those conversations and how they've changed over the past couple of years. And I've also been, prior to joining IP Rally, I've been in the space for, a good 20 years now. My beard is a little shorter than it usually is, but it's still as white if I grow it out. And so, it's been a while. Really interesting space. I come from a legal IP background first, but I've been spending most of my career in the software services space and in some of the larger players in the market, more traditional solutions and services. But I decided to join IP Rally because of what we're going to be talking about here today. And also, when I saw the product for the first time, it flipped everything on its head. It changed everything about how you approach searching and finding information. And it had the, carried the promise of true artificial intelligence. So I think it's been an interesting journey, we're doing something right, but I think we've been a bit lucky with timing. Just sort of thinking out loud here, I think we're seeing a lot of the factors aligning now. We're in a good space, but also the market and sort of the macroeconomic factors that are impacting us and everyone else in the space is sort of aligning for us at the moment. So it's a really interesting journey.
I'm glad you talked a little bit about the past because there's such a big difference in what we're doing to the traditional way of patents being searched that we both know from our experience. But the journey is really important, and I think everyone who's going to be following these podcasts and listening, thank you for still putting up with me and us. You will see that this is part of the journey for IP Rally as well. So hopefully this episode will help you understand a little bit more around the why, just like the first episode with Sakari. But that would lead me to the very, standard question. I think you answered and touched on it a little bit already, Andreas. Like, what sparked you to write this blog in the first place?
Yeah, no, I alluded to it, I think. And the blog is more sort of, it's very high level. It covers a lot of different topics, and it's more a topic for conversation, I think, than trying to provide any answers. So maybe we'll cover some of that here today. But just in general, I think it's these are things that we all face, and we need to sort of discuss and try to figure out solutions for it, because there are some challenges. And I listened to the, before going into this, preparing and understanding what I was up for, I listened to the previous Rallycast, and Zachary was talking about the different waves of AI. Right? He was talking about the first one being a little bit disappointing, and then now we're in the second wave. And I think we got going with IP Rally when the second wave was just getting started. And now we're on the wave, and I think we're just going to keep riding it. It seems to get bigger and bigger, right? So the reason
Sounds
for the blog,
very LA of you. You've been out there for a few months, and you're already talking the speaking
I
the
have
language.
a yeah I have a, fortunately I have a bum knee, so I haven't been able to hit the surfboards yet, but it's in the plans for sure. But I think, in this wave, we see that, there's been waves in how our customers have been able to discuss and adopt and assess artificial intelligence as well. And I think the way that customers approach the topic now is fundamentally different just compared to 12 months, 18 months, 2 years ago. We came from when I joined, it was still primarily about evangelizing and really explaining and sort of convincing people that AI was fit for purpose, that it was capable, it could solve some of these problems. And I would say that that's not really the case anymore. So what has caused, the whole shift in the approach for us and for our customers? So simply trying to reflect on those kind of things and see what sort of the objective drivers are. And hopefully we can discuss that here. I did notice in the invitation it said that there were going to be seven things that we were going to be talking about. May disappoint someone and say that it may not be seven things. It may be 14 or two or none of those things, but we'll see where we end up.
Yeah, it's hard to put a number to a podcast, especially the way that we're going to be running this. It's more of a conversation, which is great. But in terms of the background of the blog, and this exact episode, before we dive into the main topic, you wrote in it that, what I think we both agree, is around the economic constraints. I think we can say that the convergence in industry, a lot of it driven by the old shock that was COVID in terms of supply chain and value chain, but then more so the need for improved patent quality. Patent workflows are demanding a shift to meet this evolving landscape, and such a traditional space of patent searching and IP protection is now also being impacted by the requirement to digitize and evolve. So how do you see the state of adoption of AI in the industry today compared to maybe the assumptions of 5, 10 years ago?
I think it's clearly exciting times, right? I was talking about the second wave getting bigger, and it is. I think there is a lot of capability. There is a lot of intent when we talk to customers. I think it's a mixed bag in how people see the adoption of AI. I think they understand, when I speak it in general terms now, organizations seem to understand that, yeah, they need to adopt AI. It's the future. There's also a little bit of confusion, maybe. I don't know if that's the right word, but certainly some fatigue, some overwhelm, sentiments. There's an avalanche of AI hitting everyone in this space, and think I saw on LinkedIn or somewhere, someone posted a picture of a toothbrush that had AI,
I
right?
think I've seen that.
So yeah, and it's interesting, because it's probably true. There's probably some AI algorithms in the toothbrush, but how are we sort of defining and figuring out what to use and how to use it? And sometimes I feel like it's a little bit overwhelming, but it really varies how it's adopted. I think a lot of it seems to be driven by whether organizations have strategic initiatives or if they happen to have a couple of people that are really, really passionate about AI and keep pushing the agenda internally. So there's not really a universal answer to the question. Some are very far along. Some are, still trying to wrap their head around it. But I do think that most companies by now, whether it includes IP and sort of productivity and efficacy in sort of the IP space or not, that's a different story. But most organizations have AI initiatives now, and they for sure are creating, if they haven't already, creating frameworks for how they look at these things. And it's a bit of a paradox, I think, because everyone knows that they need to evaluate artificial intelligence, they need to adopt it, they need to do it to be able to deliver what it is that they need to deliver to whatever stakeholders that they may deliver it to. But the paradox is that even if they know that it will help them a lot in the end, they still have to carve out time to assess it. And that's really a hard thing, because everyone is strapped for time, and the investment of resources in the beginning and understanding how to tackle these things and how to assess it and how to test it, how to adopt it, how to roll it out, how to not roll it out. So it can be a pretty big project. So they'll get it back tenfold, but I think depending on where they are in the journey, that's definitely some of the things that they would be probably facing.
Yeah, and in our space, you look back to the like just advent of computers where digitizing of patent documents was seen as revolutionary. And you had some patent searchers who were comfortable going to the library and searching and spending days to find a document to Xerox it, and they were hesitant to change onto this computer program. And then Boolean logic software that allows you to search millions of patent documents fairly intuitively with the long process of Boolean string. And then the promise of AI 10, 15 years ago, that was fuzzy logic, some semantic searches that was doing natural language processing to build Boolean strings, again, still traditional Boolean based. And you wrote in the blog explicitly about the maturity, essentially, because I think it's important to be mature enough to understand when you need to change, but learn from the past to understand when that changes, it's time to adopt. So can you expand a little bit on that topic of maturity, AI initiatives and adoption?
Yeah, again, I think it's when we talk to customers, so it's not really based on my personal beliefs, not really anything that I say here today, to be perfectly honest. It's just my reflections and distillation of what we've been told in conversations with clients. And I think when it comes to maturity, if you take a step back and look at the journey to where we are today, where people are proactively trying to seek solutions using artificial intelligence, and maybe rewinding 2, 3 years ago, when ChatGPT came, because I think that's sort of the tipping point for all of this, when that became public domain and everyone,
Mainstream, really.
when it started to sort of showcase the capabilities to the wider mass, everyone was just really super excited about it and jumping on it and running all their presentations through it and made it, pitch perfect and looked perfectly. And they started summarizing meeting notes, and they maybe even drafted some patents based on invention disclosures that they shouldn't have put in. Who knows?
Uploading code, not going to say who.
It could potentially have happened, yes. And I think that excitement, which swung all the way one direction, very quickly moved all the way to the other direction, right? And people were really scared and hands off, and everyone say, no, let's not do this because we don't want our code training the algorithms or be visible to someone else, or, you know, we don't understand the security aspects. And I think that that's been for the past year or so the starting point for now swinging back, and maybe in the last six to 12 months, I think a lot of companies are now a lot more sober in how they start looking at this. They know which questions to ask. They know sort of, you know, how do we assess security? What's important? And they start looking more at, you know, what are the business objectives that we're trying to achieve, or what are the challenges we need to solve, more than sort of the form or the, you know, the box checking exercise, which is quite interesting. So I think organizations and AI, and we as one of the providers in the space, is we're all getting more mature and more aware and more prepared to go back to sort of talk about, you know, the things that really matter, I think.
Yeah, and to the, not the listeners, those who are watching, my co-host Cosmo's walking around behind, so don't be distracted. Soon the dogs will take over soon. but yeah, I think, you know, when you're right, speaking to customers, you know, some of them are just so gung-ho about just taking on AI to support their processes, where others are just so much more hesitant. And I think a lot of that has to do with the driving capability of these different tools. You know, I'm wearing the IP Rally cap, but the capabilities that we have in finding relevant art using AI is powerful. But the actual adoption and driving of, you know, the maturity has to do with the capabilities of these AI tools as well. So I know you brought it up in the blog, but would like just to kind of hear from you a little bit more around that aspect.
Yeah, no, it's kind of, I don't think any of this would happen. You would still have a lot of the other parameters and challenges, like you mentioned, around quality and, you know, the resource reduction or whatever it may be. Those would still be real, right? But AI would not be considered the or part of the solution if it wasn't capable. And that's really one of the key things that I think has changed in the last couple of years here. It has been capable, but people are now aware of it, and sort of the leaps forward that we're seeing from AI in general and AI developers is yeah, it's pretty amazing. So to me, I am a bit of a nerd. I'll be the first one to admit it. You don't spend 20 years in the IP software services space unless you find it interesting. So for me, I've seen, you know, the old to the new, and this is the first time I get amazed every week, right? I get amazed from the leaps forward from, you know, the open AIs or the Anthropics or other developers, but also from what we're doing. We're finding new use cases or new capabilities and things that you can do in our tool that, you know, I found it to be science fiction 6 months ago, and now it's here. So, you know, you can go in and ask any AI solution now to generate, not any, but there are a few solutions that can generate, you know, full length video in high definition with completely made up characters. Of course you can do that. You can have the AI pass the bar exam, or you could have, in our case, you can have, I don't know, have the AI answer any question about any content of a patent, or compare a claim to another set of claims and highlight the, the differences or similarities, and really do things that used to take hours in seconds, as long as you know how to use the AI. And that's sort of shifting capabilities is really motivating and it's really impactful. So if the technology wasn't really capable of solving these issues, I don't think we would be having that this type of conversations. But I think also, and reel me in if I'm rambling here. but I do think also it is quite interesting to look at what the capabilities are enabling our customers and the users of AI to do. I think the promise of artificial intelligence, at least the way that I see it, is the obvious one is efficiency, right? You can do things better, quicker, faster, and you can rely on it to help you improve, right? So you can increase productivity in the current processes that you have. So if you're a patent searcher, you can leverage AI to help you decipher text or, create the search string, find the right information, review the information. That's kind of what we help customers do, right? But it becomes even more interesting to me, at least, when we're talking about what it does when it comes to creating new processes. So does it sort of help organizations to do things fundamentally differently, right? Can we talk about the more sort of disruptive promise of AI, where companies can do things they haven't been able to do before? They were doing patent searching before in that example. But for the ones that didn't do it, does what we do now allow them to do that with increased efficiency and increased control, and they're able to do it faster? So that's the interesting part. It's the capability is helping to improve what's already been done, but is opening up all kinds of new doors. And we only know some of those doors, to be perfectly honest. And the really cool thing is to cap it off, I think there is a real intent. You talked about intent before as well, but there is a real intent among the people that we talk about to explore these things. So there was a research study about a year ago, I think, from a company called Outsell to do market research. And they asked a number of organizations that were relying heavily on patenting. And 94% of them said that they wanted to try AI for patent searching if they were currently outsourcing. And that's pretty substantial.
Yeah, and I think when it comes to the capabilities, a lot of times these capabilities on the human level are limited by time and bandwidth. And you can't create time. What you can do is use it more efficiently. And there's always the fear that AI is going to take our jobs, but in the end, it's those who leverage it best that are the ones who are going to succeed, really. And to kind of add to your comment as well about, those companies, organizations, startups mainly that don't have the bandwidth or ability to run these searches are sometimes limited in the front end by having to work with other external providers. And then they lose time because they're iterating so quickly and they require to iterate so quickly. So the capabilities of the tools will enable, in my opinion, quicker innovation because you give the ability for the actual innovators to immediately understand go, no go. Do you have freedom to operate? Do you have the ability to actually manipulate and maneuver? If you give the ability to the investors as well that say, hey, these are the companies that you should look into based on your knowledge and the ability to get this detail by using generative AI to decipher a patent document, by using the AI to find the relevant document. And in the end, that capability is democratizing access to this data set to really drive innovation, which for me, that's my nerd utopia. That's a hill like I want to die on. It's like, can you make it easier and more efficient to innovate? Because that is the main driving force of the patenting infrastructure, which leads to, we said seven, but let's just touch on three. The topic on patent quality and the patent system. because, rubbish in, rubbish out is a very well-known saying. But if you do now have an ability to democratize access to this information, drive better innovation, the blog that you linked to by Beat Weeble on the EPO and some limitations that they're finding some of the larger organizations with the examination process. Where is it that the rock meets a hard place, or that this innovation meets this wall that potentially can impact the quality of patents? Or how can, I'm rambling myself now, but what impact does the capabilities of the users, the technology impact the quality of the patents, and then therefore impact the process of examining, granting, protecting, and actually ensuring that these patents are valid? Because an invalid patent is worth the paper that is printed on, really. So what would you say on that?
What can I add to that? That is a really good summary, I think, of where we are. I mean, the topic of quality, and we're not really talking about the quality of the services that we're providing, right? It's not the quality of a database or anything like that. It's more the quality of the processes that lead to the end product. Well, the end product is usually a commercialized product or commercialized technology, but the end product in this case is a patent, right? So I think the debate, quantity over quality has been raging for at least as long as I've been in the space, and probably longer than that. It has been a bit of an arms race, I think, in lack of better terms, probably not appropriate, but it's whoever used to have the biggest pile of patents was also in a position of strength. And I think a lot of things are happening and has happened that is changing that. And a lot of companies are now also clearly changing direction from, building the biggest pile to finding quality. So I think that is quite an interesting movement. And I don't think I'm in a position to really comment on sort of institutions or the way that companies are approaching, obtaining patents and protecting their technology, and the quality around that. But I think it's definitely something that has been raised by others, from sort of the prosecution part. There are some clear concerns about, the ability to properly process patent applications and grant the correct patents in the correct way. It's natural, to some extent, I think, that the more patents are being filed, the more challenging it's going to be with the same amount of resources to go through them and process them in the correct way. So for sure, there are some concerns that are being raised. And on the other end, I think there are also initiatives and clearly intention from these institutions, not just the patent and trademark offices, but other institutions as well, to really try to implement and leverage technology and build, adapt, adopt technology to help out. So I think all the different players are looking at quality improvement, if I was to make a qualified guess, and again, based on what we hear, from different angles. So the bottom line, I think, is that AI will probably be one of the key solutions to it, not the
And
only. Yeah.
it's such an investment of time, of effort, of research, development to even get to a point where you have something you feel that you want to even file a patent for, because you're going to be disclosing every aspect of it to get that protection. But I think it was you that told me, I don't know where I heard it, but 20% of challenged patents post-grant survive that challenging process. So that's 80% of now potential, disclosed technology and investment that went in for anybody else's to kind of grab it. So how much there also is the quality aspect of the return on investment and the decision making to even file a patent in the first place driven by this now AI opportunity when it comes to the more pre-filing process of patent research.
Yeah, it may well have been me too that told you that. I recall hearing that at some conference about a year ago, I think. 80% of patents that are challenged post-grant are fully or partially invalidated. Whatever that says about, the quality or the examination process, don't know from my perspective, but I think it's quite interesting, and it kind of speaks a little bit to the unpredictability of things. I think also we have, and I'll get to your question in a second, where you ask about the impact of sort of being more qualitative in the sort of the pre-filing process. But I think there's one thing that I think is really interesting, and that is the fact that, and it's another paradox, that AI will be part of the solution, but I think it will also be part of creating more problems, because we're going to have an increase, if I'm speculating, we're going to have an increase of inventions that are going to be filed. There are other reasons as well for why numbers will increase in Europe, for example, but AI will probably be a main driver for invention, and people are going to look to, our organizations are going to look to protect whatever they come up with there. And we're now getting some guidelines just a couple of days ago from the USPTO, for example, about what it will take for getting protection for an AI supported invention. So we're moving forward to that. So that probably means that there's going to be more patents filed, more applications to examine, and unless you find a solution for it, it's going to be pretty interesting.
And then there's
But
more relevant prior art that you're going to have to sift through as well, because what they're creating is
for sure.
another set, another lake of
Yeah.
potential, infringement risk or arts that will, disable your ability to get something granted.
For sure. Yeah, and I think sort of the flip side of that, we're talking about sort of the examination process and predictability in that. I think companies, and most companies that we talk to, have this intent as well, right? To focus more on quality, to be more prepared, weed out the applications that are not really, maybe sure shots when it comes to protection, and be a bit more structured about it. And I think also in that perspective, AI is part of the solution, and software in general, both when it comes to sort of strategic analytics and micro level sort of patent research, patentability programs, and things like that are definitely helping in doing it. But I think it's like an entire value chain. It's a full circle approach to how we overcome the problem with quality, if there is one.
Yeah, and I think that's just a great way to kind of close this off. Really ties
All right.
back. Yeah, we're at 30 minutes, surprisingly. A little over, depending on how we edit this out. But it really just tied together to the need of leveraging AI for patent information. And there's just so many different aspects and avenues that are impacted by that. So many different personas and customers and use cases where historically everybody would just think, oh, let the patent attorneys deal with that, or let the patent agents deal with that. And that's over the last few years has bled through. No, let the engineers have some access to it, mitigating the risk. Now that anybody can jump on and get information from Google, that risk mitigation requirement has been removed by some organizations. And in the end, how can, and we've seen it, obviously, with our line of work, and this is a rally cast to not, tip our own caps, but it really is interesting to see how AI can lead through the entire information supply chain or value chain, when it comes to patent data. So, Andreas, I want to thank you for joining episode 2. I feel like it's like Star Wars, you know, but we're starting originally episode one, episode two, you know.
Episode
We,
four, is that what you mean? Episode five.
yeah, no, we're starting one and two. The episode four and five will be great. We'll go back in time and get
Like that.
but no, I really appreciate this. For the listeners, I hope you've appreciated the chat. This is again the second episode of many. Upcoming, we will have some webinars on our multi-document Ask AI, which was released yesterday from the recording of this, and also some upcoming Rallycast episodes with existing customers and industry experts. So, if you have any ideas, any feedback, you want Cosmo to be more of the podcast or less, send us an email, rallycast@iprally.com. That goes directly to us here at the team, and we want this to be, you know, good listening for everybody. So, from London to LA, I want to say thank you to Andreas, and I hope you've enjoyed this Rallycast, and we'll see you for the next one.
Yeah, thank you, JP, for having me in. For anyone that happens to be listening and want to continue the conversation, we'll be at some conferences, and I'm sure we'll cross paths. So, see if you can find me. I'm the tall Swede, usually in those contexts.
All sweet with a nice tan.
Yeah, maybe by then.
Awesome. All right. Well, thank you, Andreas. Thank you, everyone. See you soon.
Right. Bye-bye.